Hello and welcome to this Bible study number 18 in the letter of Jude. What a privilege for us to be able to study God's Word, to see what we can learn, because there's so much that we can learn from God's Word, isn't there? Before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, everything you've given us. We receive it as a gift from you as the living Almighty God. Thank you for your word. And we pray as we study your word, Father, that you will open up your word to us to help us to understand and to take it to heart and apply it in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, let's do Jude. We're going to do verse 3 and 4 again. We're still busy and we're very close to the end of talking about these false teachers now. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Up to there. Amazing words. Absolutely amazing words. Now, when we read about these false teachers, we've basically looked at a few things already. We've looked at it for the past few weeks. We've seen that they creep into the church, but they do it unnoticed. It's like a stealth mode. People don't really notice that they come into the church, start spreading their heresies and start spreading their falsehoods. The text tells us that they are ungodly men and they turn the grace of our God into a license for them to commit sexual immorality or sexual sin. And then the fourth thing they do is they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's serious. Because what we believe about Jesus Christ depends on whether we are worshiping the true Christ, whether we are worshiping the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that there's another Jesus. Né? People can receive another spirit. There's another gospel. All right, so we need to make sure that the Jesus that we worship is the biblical Jesus, is the Jesus as revealed to us in Scripture. And that's why it's important for us to go back to what the Bible teaches about who Jesus is and not what we think. That doesn't matter. All right, now one thing about Jesus that these false teachers deny is his present work, the work that he is doing here and now. I mean, obviously some say that Jesus, yeah, he was a historical figure, he lived, he was a good rabbi and all those kind of things. Yes, he was even a prophet. But then they will quickly say that he's no longer at work among us. And by doing so, they actually deny that he's alive. They deny that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father and that that same Jesus is going to return and come back. So there's different ways of actually rejecting the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and that he's alive now. He's at work in this world now. He's very much alive and at work. The scripture teaches us that he is at work. Now, there are quite a few people who know quite a lot about what Jesus did while he was on this earth. But if you would ask them, what is Jesus doing now? What is his work now? What is he busy doing now? Some people will really struggle to say. They would struggle to answer that question. Beloved, the work of Jesus did not finish when he ascended into heaven. The Bible tells us very clearly that there are a number of things that Jesus is doing now. And I believe it's important for us to know what Jesus is doing now, so that when we think about Jesus, we're not thinking about Jesus as a historical figure who died on the cross for our sin. No. He is a present person who is alive now. is the third person of the Trinity, God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who is alive now and is busy now. Now, it's interesting that he's not just busy now and here. He will also be busy in the days and the months and the weeks and the years to come. Right? He's busy with an ongoing work. Right. So what we're going to do now is just take a few moments to look at the work that Jesus is doing at present. Now, when we read the scripture, there are five things which Jesus is doing now. It's clear in scripture. Let me share the five things with you. The first thing that the Bible teaches clearly is that Jesus is building his church. He is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. You see, after his ascension, Jesus basically carried on his work of building his church. He didn't just build the church and then left the church. No, he is busy building his church. It's on a constant basis. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, you remember that Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts? Now, Luke tells us that what Jesus did on this earth was only the beginning. All right? And what we read about in the book of Acts, so what Jesus did before, when he was still on this earth, while he was busy with his public ministry, it was the beginning of what he was going to do. But when we read the book of Acts, we see the growth of the church take place. We see how the church expands. We see how Jesus is continuing his work, all right, by growing his church. You see, what Jesus does is he constantly gives his church directions. It's not as if Jesus left his church. No, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within believers, he is the one who directs the church in what direction God wants us to go, in what direction Jesus wants us to go. You see, just as our minds gives our bodies direction, so Jesus is now directing his church. But he's also constantly feeding his church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 and 30 says it so beautifully. He constantly feeds his own church. And obviously, what he does is he uses us as teachers to teach God's people. He feeds God's people through feeding them the word of life. As we share the word of God with God's people, people are being fed. But also, as you have your own quiet time, your own time with the Lord, Jesus is feeding his church, which is his body. You see, just as a human body needs to be fed, so the church needs food. And Jesus is now feeding his church with everything that the church needs to grow, to become mature in Christ Jesus. All right. But not only is Jesus feeding his church and directing his church, No. He's also cleansing his church, because his church needs to be presented one day as a clean, pure virgin to the Father. That's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to present his bride to his Father. You see, the plan of God has always been that the church would be a clean instrument in God's hands, that the church would be sanctified, that the church would be righteous and whole and holy. And even now, Jesus is cleansing the church, sanctifying his people every single day. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. All right. Another thing that Jesus is doing now is he's giving spiritual gifts to the church so that they can edify one another, so that they can do the will of God. You see, in order for the church to grow, the church needs to have abilities that is not from the people themselves, not from the believers themselves. It is spiritual abilities that Jesus Christ gives his disciples, his children, his church, so that they can do whatever needs to be done by the church. And that's what Christ does now and here. He gifts spiritual gifts to the church, to believers, so that whatever needs to be done by the church on this earth, that specific, those things can be done. All right, but the church also, or the Achtub church, the Bible also teaches us that Jesus is praying for believers, and he's doing it now. He's the one interceding for them. You see, even while Jesus was on this earth, he prayed for those who believed in him. He also prayed for those who would still believe in him in the future. You know, the high priestly prayer of Christ? Now he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for those who would come to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of the disciples. Jesus was interceding for believers even then, and he's also doing it now. You see, the Bible teaches us that the work of Jesus Christ, the interceding work, the praying work of Jesus Christ, is a continuous work that he's doing. It is Jesus Christ himself interceding for us on our behalf. This brings us to the third thing that the Bible teaches us about the work that Jesus is doing now. That is that Jesus restores believers into fellowship with God. And yes, this is the ministry of reconciliation, but that's kind of what happens first. When God saves us by his grace, when Jesus Christ regenerates us, when the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells us, we are reconciled to God. That is the first thing that happens in our fellowship with God. Before, we didn't have fellowship with God, but once we are reconciled with God, we are in fellowship with him. All right, but there's something else that actually causes this fellowship that we have with God to get hurt. And that is when we sin. And this is where Jesus comes in. In John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is called our advocate. So he's basically one who speaks on behalf of someone else. He is the one who comes and speaks to God the Father on our behalf because he's our advocate. Now, what it teaches us, that Jesus, the fact that Jesus is our advocate, is that when we sin, normally what happens is our fellowship with God is hurt. All right, but the moment we confess our sin, Jesus actually intercedes for us on our behalf with the Father. He speaks to the Father. And then what he does is he restores the relationship that was damaged by the sin that we did. So in that sense, Jesus is now restoring fellowship with God constantly. As we sin and as we confess our sin and we ask God for forgiveness, Jesus is the one who, as an advocate, restores that relationship that we have with the Father. All right, but the Bible also teaches us in the fifth place that Jesus is now at present preparing a place for us in heaven. Oh, amazing. John chapter 14 gives us a picture which was common in Jesus' day, and that is that a father would build a house, and that house would be big enough for all of his children. It would be a mansion that has many rooms, so that the father's children can now come and stay in the father's house. It's normally big enough for all of his children. And Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them. He's going to prepare a room for them in a mansion. And when he has prepared a place for them, he will return, come back and take them to be with him forever and ever in that mansion that he built for them. That's for you and me. So he's preparing a place for us as his children. Oh, that's amazing. And he's doing it now. That's what Jesus is doing now. Right, and then fifthly, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the one who is producing fruit in our lives. Now, we know the fruit of the Spirit, now love and joy and peace and long-suffering and those kind of things. We know the fruit of the Spirit, and the only way that we can have the fruit of the Spirit is if the Holy Spirit is actually working that fruit in us. If the Holy Spirit is producing his fruit in us. But there's another passage in Scripture that I believe is very important with regards to this producing of fruit. And that is John chapter 15, where Jesus tells us about the vine. Now the farmer who prunes the vine so that the vine can bear much fruit. And how this vine abides in the root and it gets its nourishment from the root and then pushes this nourishment into the branches so that the branches can produce fruit. And if there's not enough fruit, the farmer comes and he prunes the branches so that it can produce more and more and more fruit. And John chapter 15 tells us so beautifully that it is impossible to bear any fruit without us being in the vine. Us being in the root that gives the nourishment for us to be able to bear fruit. You see, the branches can only bear fruit because it abides in the vine. It's only because Jesus is at work in the lives of believers now that believers are able to produce any fruit. And this is amazing. It's a work of Christ now, here, at present. So, when we look at what the Bible teaches us about the work of Jesus Christ today, it's clear that Jesus is very much at work in us today. He's very much at work in the church, in the lives of believers. Don't be deceived by false teachers who claim that Jesus is not at work anymore, where they place the focus somewhere else, instead of Christ Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, being involved in the lives of His children here and now. Because what Jesus is doing is He's producing fruit in the lives of His people. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. Jesus, as our advocate, is restoring believers into fellowship with God if they sinned against God. Right now, Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's praying on our behalf. But Jesus is also building His church right now. And these are the things that Jesus Christ is doing at this present moment. That's what He's busy doing. He's not idly sitting by in the throne room in heaven doing nothing. No. Jesus is presently busy. The way that He decided to be busy on this earth is through the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the one working these things in us. But Christ Jesus is the head of His church, He's the head of His body, and He's the one at work right now. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God is one God. All right, so don't have an artificial separation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, each one has, each person of the Trinity has its own, his own function, right? But in essence, the triune God is one. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can come to You in Jesus' name, and thank You so much that Jesus Christ is at work right now, that He's at work in building His church, in for praying for us, in restoring believers when we fall out of fellowship with You in the sense that doing sin, that He's preparing a place for us in heaven and that He's producing fruit in our lives. Father, thank You so much. Thank You that He is doing all of this and that we can glorify Him and praise Him. And may this be a reality in our lives every single day, that we will be reminded of the biblical truth that Christ Jesus is at work in our lives right now. And I pray, Father, that You will open up our eyes to see the false teachers who teach us falsehoods about Christ. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, thank you very much for listening to this Bible study, going through it with me. It's such a blessing to do these studies, especially now that we are talking about Christ. It's such so exciting, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. So God willing, until next time, when we continue with the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude, God bless, and may the Lord be with you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. Until next time, God willing, bye-bye.